Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
All right, Paul Tonko, here we go. Let's have the lightning round. I will ask you a question, and you have 1 minute to answer. Ready? You endorsed Kathy Sheehan for mayor of Albany. Why?
I think Kathy has sound training as treasurer of the city. She understands the fiscal situation of the city.
Which ain't that good.
And pardon me?
Which ain't that good.
Well, I think cities across the country are having a difficult time. Her stewardship as a treasurer, I think, prepared her very well so as to address those fiscal situations. And, her style has been one of transparency and accountability, which I think is helpful. And the fact that she's been involved in situations like the board at Proctors allows her to have a sense of the creative side of the job, because it's not just putting the budget into working order and getting the fiscal situation made sound, but it's also coming up with the creative adjustments that will be required to grow the potential within the city.
Without seeming small, I want to point out that Proctors is in Schenectady, and she's running for mayor of Albany.
But the training, I think.
No, you're right.
I never get a cheap shot.
I agree with you. Okay,
but it's a regional thing.
Okay. But we're out of time for that question, and now we're going to the New York's preparation for the next superstorm. Are we ready?
Sure.
We are. No, are we ready for the next superstorm?
Oh, I thought I was ready for the question. No, are we ready? We need to commit. There are a number of things that need to be done as it relates to climate change and global warming. And it is very difficult to get some people in Congress to understand or recognize data that's been compiled. The data are compelling. The facts that are shared here require adjustments. Addressing carbon emission, addressing ozone depletion, making certain that we begin to address this phenomenon, because as we go forward, I'm convinced we're going to have more and more situations like Superstorm Sandy where we're called upon to pay and bail out communities, and rightfully so. But if we know what may be causing this, it's just foolishness allow it to continue.
Is it too late?
Too late to address the global warming thing. Many have benchmarked the year 2017, maybe stretching it to 2020, but we need to move accordingly. For instance, if you're going to simply replace what storm damage had done, that will be an ineffective use of taxpayer dollars. When we had the Irene and Lee damage in 2011 in this given congressional district, there are, again, compelling facts assembled. Data are speaking to us rather forcefully that precipitation has been extraordinarily high over the Catskill Range, especially when you relate it to perhaps the Adirondack Range. If we're going to replace a bridge that was wiped out by that storm, do you then put it in the same span at the same height, or do you adjust for the corresponding effects of water in that basin? And, a number of things need to be done. You need to provide for the safety nets. That's going to be very pricey. And you're dealing with a Congress that wants offsets, that drags its feet, doesn't want to be there for disaster aid, and at the same time, conversely, doesn't address climate change, global warming. Okay. You can't have it both ways.
Okay, I agree with you. Talk to me about the Common Core. We just gave the kids in New York State yet another test.
Well,
the results were a disaster.
Yeah, well, the results are a disaster. Some will argue that the baseline needs to be established here, and that they recognize, too, that no new schools have been added to the queue list for failing schools because of these tests. But the bigger concern I have here is spending inordinate hours testing children in a way that may not be the most proof positive system.
Got a better idea?
Teacher evaluation needs to incorporate where the student starts. Mm-hmm. Many students are coming with tremendous baggage.
Yeah,
that tells the story. How far did you take the troubled student? How far? You might have a stellar student with parental support, home support, that goes even further. But we need to have a system that addresses that in the best way. And I think saturating our students with tests is not the best use of class time. Mm. So I think
we're
the system,
to the test.
Which is not going to produce the best academic outcome. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I hear also that this adjustment to the Common Core is coming so rapidly that you're bringing it on with a, you know, with a flood rather than letting it trickle into the system gradually. But again, testing and overabundance of testing in a way that saturates the classroom day isn't the best outcome.
A point. But I have to say, Paul Tonko, that, you know, I went to public schools for the most part, some private school, but to this day I really have some problems with, you know, writing English sentences. One of the things about the Common Core is, although I do write two or three columns a week, thank
usually
God.
They're complete sentences too.
Yeah,
I've checked
well,
it out.
Thank God for Grammar Check. I mean, who knew we were going to have those things back in the day? But I wanted to ask you about the Common Core, which is English, you know, reading, uh-huh. writing, arithmetic, basically.
Right.
Isn't it important we know that stuff?
Oh, absolutely. I think we've skipped over some of the basics.
Yeah.
Writing skills today, I think, have been weakened.
Yep.
And I think it's because we skip over basics. You know, I'm from a dinosaur era where you had to create a diagram on a sentence.
Yeah, exactly. Did you go to a parochial school?
I did.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. But you know what? Mm-hmm. It provided a very disciplined approach to getting your thoughts together. Where does the preposition belong in a sentence? Mm. People throw it at the tail end. Is there a subject? Is there a verb?
Sure. What's a verb? Yeah, go ahead.
You know, so all of these things, the structuring, not only taught you good grammar and good writing skills, but it also gave you an analytical side to it, which I think is important.
Why you keep changing your press secretaries?
No, you must have the wrong office.
Yeah. Okay, talk to me about immigration reform.
Immigration reform, desperately needed, dragging the feet in the House of Representatives after a bipartisan effort was made in the Senate. It's not a perfect bill. I have some problems with it. But we need to move forward and address immigration reform. You know, we look at, for instance, the shortage of engineers in this country. We need to advance STEM education. And until we do, we're not going to tap the untapped resource out there of talent in this country. And there are many talented engineers who would probably work here, but for the lack of sound immigration policy.
Now, do you think that the Republicans are making a mistake in the House because they worked it out in the Senate? Do you think the Republicans are making a mistake because it might hurt them politically?
Well, I think it's a huge mistake because, as has been proven by the scoring of the Senate bill, we can grossly impact, in the positive sense, by $800 to $900 billion, the effects on the deficit with immigration reform. So they're missing out on a situation where they profess to be passionately concerned. It's also, I think, a political consequence for them. What was it, 27%, 28%, maybe 29% of Hispanic voters supported the Republican ticket.
In other words, very few.
So very, very few. So I think that, you know, again, the attack on women, the attack on children, the attack on minorities, by their policy statements, by their denial in the budgets that they conceive, are hurting them aplenty.
Yeah. Well, as I have often said, you know, you can just read these guys' minds. They're going to go back and face a Tea Party opponent in a very small election, which very few people will turn out for. And they'd rather keep their jobs than do what's right in some cases. But Paul Tonko, I, as always, have had the last word. And so,
hooray for you.
And I thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
And as always, you are so generous with your time, and we all appreciate it.
We love the station. We love Dr. Chartok, and we love your listeners.